All right, Romans chapter 9. I want to kind of continue with a little twist of where we were this morning, Acts chapter 21. But I want to start in Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, we want to start in verse 1. Romans chapter 9, verse 1. I say the truth in Christ and lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. And by the way, I might just add that he already knew what was going to happen to him. He said that in Acts chapter 20 and 21, what was going to happen. The Holy Ghost wasn't holding anything from Paul, and Paul still went. So today, what in this service, what I want to talk to you about is just keep pressing toward the mark. Don't give up. I mean, you know, you start to do something big, and everything will try to stop you from doing it. And what you've got to do is just decide it's bigger than you and keep going forward. I think that's really the key. I love the fact that Paul never gave up. If anybody had any reason to give up in the ministry, it was Paul. And so God used Paul with all the excuses. He could have just gone down the list of the checks. Yep, I got that one. He could have done all of that. But he didn't give an excuse, and he didn't say, oh, I got it so bad. I hear something. You know, it's somehow more spiritual when your car breaks down. You know, I hear preachers say, my car broke down and, everything's bad. Well, then buy a new car. You say, well, I can't afford it. Well, then get your money straight. God doesn't give a flip about all that. What God gives a flip about is your ministry toward others and to the church and to the community at large. We have a huge community. Do you realize we get calls from Greenville? We get calls from Auburn. We get calls from Canton. We have calls to OP. We have had calls from OP off the program. And so our ministry reaches out. I could see a day. We have people in Alex City, 4 or 5 families. I can see a day that one day that thing keeps growing in viewers, and maybe Stan goes up in the midweek and preaches a Bible class to those people. You know, that's how the thing should grow. And maybe Greenville, we can get enough people together out of that we can get a Bible study that William could teach. And we all come on Sunday and Wednesday, but maybe Thursday he has his, and Tuesdays. And I mean, this thing can really get to going. But what you got to do is realize that you got to have a desire to reach the people. That's the heart. You got to have this heart. And that's what Paul had. Look what he says. Verse 2. I have a great heaviness and a continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to pertain of the adoption and the glory and the covenant and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. Man, he was burdened for these people. He loved these people. He thought about these people. He desired for these people to be saved. Look at the end, chapter 10. Look at his desire. Verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He had a desire. People ask me all the time, Pastor, how did you know you were called to preach? I had the burning desire in there to do that. Brother Moore says, better not do it. Jerry Lockhart says, better not do it. Well, you can't stop when you finally get that desire. And you know what this desire feels like. How many's ever built a home? I want a home. And I want to build this home from the ground up. How many's ever had that desire? Anybody fulfill that desire? Actually do it? It's rewarding, isn't it? You have this burning desire inside of you, and you're in with every detail, and you're not maybe doing all the work, but you know, Paul didn't do all the work either, did he? He brought other people into Christ, like Timothy and Apollos and all these other, Silas and all these other people that went out and did the same thing based upon their desire. And the thing just grew and grew and grew. And it's kind of like that with anything. People say, well, I want a new car. How many's ever desired a new car? I said, well, how many made it happen? Anything you set your desires upon and heart upon, you will do. Did you understand me? Anything you set your desires or heart upon, you will do. If your heart's in the ministry and your heart's into giving and your heart's into witnessing, you'll do it. You won't even have to. Nobody's going to have to tell you, you know what, you need to get up every day and every week and go out and do this. I mean, nobody has to call me and say, man, and what Mrs. Gaines says about me being enthusiastic. Nobody. I love being here. I love preaching. I love teaching the Word of God. I love building up the body. I love establishing and rooting and establishing people into the faith. I think that's the most exciting thing I could possibly do on life. I literally believe I'm fulfilling the purpose that God has called me to do. You know that Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren? Is that his name? I think it's Rick Warren. I read the book, but it's Warren, I think, is his last name. I think it's Rick. I'm not sure. Anyway, you know, the problem is there's a purpose for your life here. And your purpose aren't necessarily to have wealth and riches and things like that. In Acts chapter 26, he's given an account and a testimony. And all I want you to see is what he thought the purpose was and what he thought his desire was. Listen, let me tell you, I can tell you that Paul had a purpose and a desire in his life. And today, I want to make sure you know your purpose and desire in life. Listen, I want to do something remarkable for the Lord. I want to spend my life and my energy trying to bring people to the knowledge of the truth and rooting and establishing them. And you don't do that by beating them up all the time. You do them by lifting them up and showing them the gospel. Do every now and then you got to put out the Bible Uzi? Yeah, every now and then you got to blow people away because nothing else is going to get to them. But I want you to see this. I love this. Verse 16. Acts 26, verse 16. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. This is why I've come down to show you, Paul, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people, which he's doing in Acts chapter 22 a little bit, and from the Gentiles of whom I now send thee. For what purpose does he send them? Here it is, verse 18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sin and the inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith, which is in me. I've got a purpose. My purpose and desire is not to say, hey, look at us, we're so great. My purpose and desire is that this ministry would, in a sense, affect other people in a way that their eyes would be open and that they would be turned from darkness onto light and that they would see and receive the forgiveness of sin. I mean, come on, folks. There are thousands of people this morning in churches that believe that they have to confess their sins to get forgiveness. As in 1 John 1:9. You know who's trapped them? Satan. Our job is to turn these people from Satan onto God, it said. That's the purpose and desire. Paul never left that desire and purpose. And so to a Jew, he was a Jew. And toward the Gentiles, he was a Gentile, that he might win the more. And you, all you have to do is testify the gospel of the grace of God. That's incredible. You don't have to come up with eloquent speech. I hear so many great things. How many have heard some of the other preachers in this church? They're phenomenal, aren't they? Terry, last Sunday, I flew in trying to get here at 10. He was up there preaching, and I mean, Terry tore it up, baby. Terry did a good job. Wow. I'm gone. People say, well, don't come back. Bobby's preaching. He's awesome. He's better looking, and he can preach. Amen. We got great men that stand up. Well, Mac, they tell me, this is what they say about Mac. They call me up and say, you know, he is the most calmest, gentlest, and he gets his point across so phenomenally. Wow, don't need me. You know, that's exactly the way it should be. You know, if I died or something happened to me, this ministry shouldn't stop. This isn't Barry's ministry. This is your ministry. You should be concerned with the effects of this ministry. You shouldn't be concerned whether I'm here or not. Listen, these men of God have a desire, just like I do, to do what? To have their eyes open and go from darkness unto light. I think the purpose that we're given on this life. Mac, you have a purpose. Bobby Jr., guess what? You've got a purpose. Even a child is known by his doing. Listen, everything you do in life has a purpose. You're either bringing people to the cross or you're driving them away. You've got a purpose. And your attitude and your action shows forth more than anything. I've got a purpose. I know what the purpose is. And that is to show people to open their eyes, to move them from darkness to light, to move them from Satan onto God. And that can only be done through verbalization. Why? For the central purpose that we all need building up occasionally in the faith. Paul tried to encourage his brother. People always think, man, you're putting down the law. He's saying, man, my heart's desire and prayer for God, for Israel is that they might be. Man, that's my desire. What are you saying to me? Why would I want to do you any harm? What father would give their son a stone when he asked for a piece of bread? And the answer is, how many? None. It's a rhetorical question. It's none. I thought about preaching I travel a lot, and so I listen to a lot of preaching lately. And they're preaching what they believe. And the point that I'm trying to make is, you can have all that knowledge, and if you're not sharing it with anybody, it's pretty much useless. It's useless. You might as well just be puffed up with knowledge. That's exactly what happens with some grace believers. We get puffed up. Amen? Don't do that. Have charity. That's what the whole thing is about. Why? Because we want to open their eyes so they go from darkness onto, and from Satan onto, God. That's the purpose. And they're trapped not knowing. And I hear these people preach. And they're preaching what they believe. But, you know, if I ever got a chance, I'm thinking, boy, I wish I could just talk to these people a minute. They may see. And they're preaching what their daddy preached and what their granddaddy preached and what they believed all their life. Hey, listen, I believed something before I got saved. I honestly, how many here, I don't know, but I believe God was going to put my good on one side and my bad on the other and weigh it out. How many believed that at one time? Just three or four? I believe that. I really believe that. When I found out that Christ died for all my sins, man, what an eye-opening experience. It was like, whoa, this is good. I had some of those sins they call zinger sins. I had a few little ones, but I figured I could buffalo God through those. But there were a few in there you just couldn't buffalo. It was flat. Man, listen, if the law was over me, I was going to go to hell. And so my enthusiasm for this ministry and all that comes based upon the desire that God has given me in my heart to go out and try to move people in the right direction. Look, if you will, in Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. I want to go to the verse down below where we ended. Verse 10, I guess. We ended in 9 earlier. Philippians 3, verse 10. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowshipping of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Did Paul know he already attained? But he wanted to act like he had to obtain it. The zeal. Not as though I had already attained it. Either was already perfect. But wasn't he? Yes, he was. But I followed after that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I counted not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching for those things which are before. See, folks, wherever you've been, whatever you believed, stop right now. I don't care what it was that you believed. I don't care you believed in tongues. I don't care if you believed in keeping the law. I don't care if you thought you were the best person in the world. Stop. There's some facts you need to know. One, how many are good? None. The Bible says there's not a just person upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So all these things that you thought back here, when you finally get over here, it doesn't matter. Once you're over on the other side, the things that are before you, should we be judgmental with one another? Anybody know how it feels like to be a sinner? Man, have compassion on the sinner. Jesus Christ was the most perfect example. You know, He wasn't caught in the temples all the time. He was accused of being a wine bibber occasionally. I went over to Rick's place, and they have a bar, they have a restaurant and bar kind of thing. Sue was so sweet. She says, this is my pastor. And of course, they told me they were glad I was called to preach instead of sing, because she has that karaoke machine over there, and sing another one. And those people were going like this, and there was like 15 people, and by the time I got done, there was just us. You know, it was terrible. So they don't invite me back much. But anyway, there were some people there that freaked that I was there because I was a preacher. Well, folks, they didn't really understand. See, Satan has convinced them that there's some Christians that are good and there's none good. And that Jesus Himself got accused of the exact same thing. Did you know that? And so we have to turn people from that thought over into another way. I mean, there's some of us that after we got saved, we thought we were little saints with halos. I asked this girl the other day, she was bragging on me. People were bragging on me. I said, here, hang on just a second. I grabbed a tissue out of my, polished the halo before I... You know, some people think all they've got is time to polish their halo. Yeah. Folks, listen, every one of us needs compassion and all that. But there isn't anybody in here polishing halos. Maybe a few horns occasionally, but not halos. But you know what? We should be pressing toward that mark. We should be heading toward that mark. Why? So that people will listen to us. Pressing toward that mark, having that desire. And one of the things I've learned over the last 10 years is you can't motivate anybody. You're either motivated to do it or you're not. You know what? Listen, if you're not motivated to do something, you can do it for a few times, and then somewhere down the road, you're going to fall down. Do y'all understand? I can't give you the desires. I can't make you motivated. I can't make you do that. You ought to have the same desire I've got toward whatever God has called you to do. You know, if we were all called to preach, it would be pretty bad. Because my goal is to get somebody who's never seen it to what? Turn them from darkness onto... and turn them from Satan onto... That's my job. Hey, listen, if you've got to be open, why don't you just open yourself right now and get saved? When you bring people to church, I want it to be in a way that they'll go, boy, those people are really nice. And give them enough time sitting here that they might be willing to hear the truth. I think about Sue. She was at the conference 2 years ago, and she told how much this ministry meant for her. She doesn't know how much she means to this ministry. I don't think I expressed that well, and I'm sorry about that. But she said, you know, I was able to see the gospel for the first time. Went to church for years, right? Isn't that true? Her eyes were, and she went from darkness onto, and from Satan onto God. And that's what the ministry is, folks. Do you know what? You got to sit there and listen. And I remember the first couple times she came, she said, I'm confused. You remember that? Of course you're going to be confused. Corrine came up and asked me, I don't understand if we... That's what I'm here for. Ask me the questions. Why? My job is to root and ground you and establish you in the truth so that you'll have the answers yourself. It's not that I'm Mr. Expert. You'll be the expert in a few years. I think of William and Bobby and Stan and Larry. I mean, Larry's about as quiet as you get. Amen? Larry doesn't teach. But boy, if you asked him what it is he believed or why he believed it, man, he'd whip out the word and show you. Yeah, you don't have to be called to teach to know the truth. You could be Corrine. So women aren't supposed to teach. They can teach other women. That's what it said in Titus. So all of us have a purpose. All of us have a reason. All of us have... There's multiple reasons to be here. Go back into Philippians chapter 3. I didn't finish where I wanted to go. I'm going to start in verse 13 again. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But he had apprehended. He was complete in Christ, right? Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. He was holy and without blame, Philippians chapter 1, verse 22, Colossians chapter 1. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. I want you to underline that. Whatever you've done in the past, just count it as done right now. And this is what you need to do. He says, reaching forth unto those things which are before, verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. What mind has he been talking about this whole time? Act like you haven't got it. Act like you're pressing toward the mark. Act like it's something important to gain. Make your desires known. Philippians chapter 2 says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work it outside of you. I love Larry's testimony. He is my closest brother in this church. He's been with me from the very beginning. He's closer to me than my own family is. I love Larry. One of the things I love about Larry is when he starts to tell his testimony, he gets choked up and emotional. And I know he's preaching it from the heart. He's telling it from right here. And I never get tired of it. And he doesn't act like he's got it all down. And when he gets up there, his heart really shows forth. I thank God for that. You don't have to impress me. Just have that heart and desire. And he gives that testimony. He's not giving that testimony to impress you, but that somebody's eyes might be. And they would turn them from darkness onto, and from Satan onto, that's the purpose. So Rick Warren was kind of right. But your purpose isn't to make money or to have a great marriage. Your purpose is to do what? Turn them from dark onto, and from Satan onto God. That's your purpose. And everything you do in life, whether it's your job, whether it's homemaking, whatever it is, you ought to do for Christ. Like you're pressing toward that mark. If you're an architect, design for God. I think it was Frank Lloyd that said that God was... How did he say that about God and the fact that he built houses that were kind of honoring to God? He used scriptures in all of his houses. And I believe if you're going to do it unto the Lord. As we read, come on down in Philippians. I want to... Verse 15, let us therefore as many as be perfect be thus minded, that if anything yet be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, and let us mind the same things. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so you have us for an example. So then I know that what Paul went through when he said, hey, I know the things which are going to befall me when I go to Jerusalem. I hear that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city that bonds and afflictions abide in me. I know that. But I don't count my life dear unto myself. He said in Romans chapter 12, you ought to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I know it's hard. I know Satan's going to play with your life. I know all these things are going to keep you from trying to give and be here on time and doing. I know. Satan never gives up. Satan would destroy the body of Christ and the knowledge and the wisdom of God if he could. And you have to stand. You know, Ephesians chapter 6 is one of my favorite chapters in there. He says, You know, that you have to be in the power of His might. If you try to do it in your own might, you're going to be awfully disappointed. It's going to be this kind of thing. I'm going to start doing something. Boom, it'll quit. Boom, it'll quit. You know why? Your might isn't going to be strong enough to fight the wiles of the devil. You need to make sure you're doing it for Christ's sake. I mean, listen, I don't show up on Sunday because I have to. I do it for Christ's sake. I don't give money to the ministry because I don't have anything else to do it. I do it for Christ's sake. Everything that I do, you don't have to tell me. I'm not motivated by you or your position. I'm motivated because of the desires that God had put in my heart. You got to be committed. You got to press toward the mark. Not like you got it. You've already got it. I know that's true. But press toward the mark like you haven't had it. Man, if we had those kind of attitudes, it would be amazing, wouldn't it? Our whole life would change. Things would be different in our life. In our marriages, they'd be different. Amen? Wouldn't it be great to have a husband that washes you in the Word, bathes you with the mouth of grace, seasoned with salt? You know, most husbands and wives, I've watched this over the course of periods, and Brenda and I are not perfect. We don't go down the hall quoting Scripture at each other, so I'm not trying to come across. But you know, they start out loving, and you know, it's like this, and the next thing they know, they're screaming at each other in hatred and in sounds of, and you know, that's not grace. That's not the purpose, God. I mean, if we could look into the homes of everybody in here, we'd all be scared. Amen? And that's because it's easy to do something in the flesh right for a little while. But if you want that desire, you know what? Brenda is the desire of my mind, my life. There's a book. I saw this on Oprah. Now, don't get the idea that the preacher goes around watching Oprah all the time. I hate when people do that to me. But I was watching this thing on Oprah, and there's this guy. You know, he's got blonde hair. It's all spiked. Looks pretty cool. He's about my age, but he looks like 20, you know. And I'm thinking, I could probably look like that if I spiked my hair and all that. Anyway, he wrote a book, and he says, girls, he's not really into you. And I thought about, you know, that's kind of how it is with God. People can see whether you're into him or not. You know, I was thinking to myself, you know, that's true of Christianity, too. They know whether you're really faking it or not. I mean, you think you're faking it. And, you know, these guys are players. You know, they're always playing the women. You know, oh, man, you're hot. You know, they're talking to you. And they don't, hey, they may just want sex or something. They may not want that relationship. You know why? They're not into you. Well, that's true of Christianity, too. They see what you do. And if you're not pressing toward that mark all the time, and you have to be told or reminded what your ministry is, it isn't your ministry. Give it up.
Right.
You're just not into Him. If you're into Him, people will know that you're into Him. They'll see it in your eyes. They'll see it in your face. They'll know whether you're really into Him. When it comes to this new church building, everybody says we need a new church building. I don't see how you're into it. Because you know what I know? Satan is going to do everything to stop you. And if you give up and quit, you weren't really into it. You're just faking it. When you go to love one another, there's no question. People in here know whether I love them, what I've done for them. They know my heart. And that's why Paul says, Timothy, you know my purpose, the reason I've done all this. You've seen me do all this, and 2 Timothy tells them that. It's not in question in your mind. Anybody questions whether this ministry means something to me? It's not a question in your mind about that. You know why I do that? Because I want you to understand it's the most important thing in my life, period. When I get my paycheck, you know what the first thing I think of? Is how much can I give to the Lord? First thing. It's not even whether what. I wonder, what should I give? I don't know. It's the first thing I do. It's all His. I've got to sit and figure. Oh, man. You're just not into it. Stop. I'm not sure how much to give this week. Then don't give any. Say, well, we won't be able to afford the building. We'll sell it. It doesn't matter. You just weren't into it. Listen, folks. You have a chance for the next. Do you realize that I'm 47 years of age? If I live for another 30, I'll be 77. My life is basically half over no matter how I cut it.
Right.
Now, I might be fortunate to live as Mrs. Gaines, but she probably lived a better life than I did for the first 20 years. So the first 21 years of my life, I was hell-bound swimming toward it, like a professional swimmer, you know? I mean, it wasn't like I was, oh, I'm drifting down to hell. It was like, hey, I'm going there, you know? And I mean, it was that kind of attitude. So she probably didn't do that. And disobedient, you know, it says if you're obedient to your parents, you'll live long on the earth. That's the first commandment with promise. I wasn't one of those. I cussed my daddy. I should have my mouth washed out with soap. Well, they did do that a little when I was young, but when I was 17, it was hard to tie me down and do that. All of my life, since the moment I got saved, has been the want to get other people saved. And you don't have to show that to anybody. Bobby calls me up on the phone. I'm driving. Hey, man, I just witnessed to someone. I didn't have to tell him to go witness. He knew to witness. And I enjoy those conversations. Man, listen, let me tell you, that's all we got, guys. We got each other, and we got a ministry, and we got a purpose. And the only thing that we're not sure of is where your desires are. And that's in between you and the Lord. And you can make anything happen that you want. It says, as a man so purposed in his heart, so is it. It will happen. He says, whatever you desire, he won't be able to restrain it from you. If you desire the ministry and you desire it to grow, it's going to grow based because of that heart inside of you, period. And you know what? I couldn't be any more honored than to be with a group of people that I believe have some of the same desires I have. And I think what we've done over the 18 years has been remarkable. And I am thankful to God for all that. And I'm especially thankful for you. Your desire to stay and stick and serve. You don't have to. You know what? There's no membership role here. Isn't that the greatest thing? You come because you desire it. Hey, there ain't any plate going to ever be passed before your nose, or if I pass it, it'll be for someone in the congregation or someone who needs help, not for me. And I hope those desires and things continue after I'm gone, because who knows how long I'll be on this planet. There's going to be people fleeing from a storm for their lives, and you know there's going to be some people, I guarantee it, will lose their life in this storm. They're playing with fate, and if they lose it without Jesus Christ, if they lose it lost, they will bust a hell open for eternity.